Reverend Fred H. Johnson Jr. was called in 3 years ago to the Church of the Intercession as a supply priest, which is a little like a substitute teacher. He was only meant to fill in for a few weeks, but he stayed because he saw he was needed. The church no longer had a permanent priest. Reverend Johnson showed up at a time when very few people came to Sunday services.
A high attendance would be 30, 34. A regular one would be 15, 19.
He says congregants told him the church was once a vital and alive place.
It's sad to see it close because something in me says it could be a really viable place, but I guess too much has happened over the years.
Like priests coming and going for the last 20 years and members leaving. Valerie Banks Adebayo has been attending the Church of the Intercession for 44 years. She's the organist. She's on the vestry leadership team. She used to lead the church youth group.
Whatever needs to be done, I'm the guy.
Adebayo says the neighborhood has changed. People moved in who don't go to the church. And
the people that have been Episcopalians all their lives are dying out and not getting replaced.
But not just dying out. They're also choosing not to come. Ernest Williams first joined the church in 1971. He stopped attending Sunday Mass about 6 years ago. He raised his older kids here, but says when he adopted two younger children later, the church didn't offer programs for kids anymore. Like a lot of former members, Williams came back for the last Mass.
I just came back for memories and said goodbye to the church. This is the church when I came to know the Lord in my life and really know him.
Almost 100 people attended the final Sunday Mass, three times as many as a really good Sunday over the past few years. They filled the church's wooden pews. Valerie Banks Adebayo, the organist, says it felt like old times.
Dynamic was exactly like it is today. This was a mixed group of people, different ages, different ethnicities, different cultures.
After the Mass, congregants met at the parish hall next door for refreshments. Next to the buffet, a round white table was covered with old photographs. Using both hands, Ernest Williams sifted through old pictures he found of himself and his family.
Somebody don't call, I'll recognize myself. I was younger then, but that's my oldest daughter. That's when she was a little girl. She's like 40, she'll be 48 this year.
Adebayo says she's sad that the church is closing, but the time is right.
This church has been on life support for the last 2 years. And we pulled the plug today, so it's a new birth for all of us. We'll still see each other. It's not the end. It's just a new beginning.
The new beginning starts with Jerry Scanlon. He's a managing partner at Little Acorn Developments out of Fort Lauderdale. The company is buying the church property.
When I originally came to meet with the church, it was because of the what's called the community garden.
An acre of the church's property is home to about six plots. Seasonally filled with vegetables, flowers, bushes, and trees, Scanlon says he wants to preserve as much of that as possible.
The area lies immediately to the south of Middle River, which is known to flood once every 10 years or so. And as such, the green area performs a very valuable function as a sort of, absorbent for some of the flood water.
Based on zoning laws in the Fort Lauderdale area, Scanlon could theoretically build 60-plus homes on the four-acre church property, but he doesn't want to do that. He's looking to build high-priced homes while preserving green space. And he's not in a hurry to kick anyone out. He says for the next few months, while he makes plans, the church's nonprofit food pantry is allowed to keep operating. I'm Jessica Mazaros in Fort Lauderdale.